This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 11, The History and Future of Ridesharing. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm chilling, man. It is actually snowing right now in Baltimore, but this week I'm looking forward to leaving the cold and dark winter of the East Coast and heading over 3 hours closer to you.
Yes, you're going to, what is it, Las Vegas first and then San Francisco?
My wife and I are going to Las Vegas and then to San Francisco for my cousin's wedding. So guess how warm it is on the West Coast?
At least 50 degrees warmer than it is on the East Coast.
Well, that doesn't...
It's snowing, so it's around 30 degrees. So I'm going to say 80.
No, lies. It's going to be like 65 to 55.
Really?
So not that much warmer.
Even in Vegas?
Vegas is going to be like 65. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so I just asked my Alexa too, because I don't actually use the Weather Channel app on my phone anymore. I just ask Alexa, Alexa, what's the temperature in Las Vegas on Wednesday? And it's going to be 64 degrees and raining. And to which I said, it's a desert. How often does it rain there?
Yeah, you're quite lucky to witness rain in Vegas.
Yeah, well, we'll see. In any case, today we got a cool show for you. We're going to be talking about the history of ride sharing, as you know from the title. But it's kind of a cool topic for us because the 4501 podcast was always tailored towards tech, travel, and tangents. And so we're knocking off two birds with one stone. We're talking about when tech and travel kind of intersect and comes up with this awesome app that everyone uses all the time and they use it to get around. So we're talking about Uber and Lyft. So what do you think about that, Tony?
I'm really excited to talk about it. I think it's going to be a good episode. So let's just get right into it.
Okay. So I guess kind of just the basic history of Uber and Lyft to go through it. Uber started back off in 2009 and it kind of started, I think it was at a party. So I actually listened to a podcast with Chris Sacca. Do you know who that is, Tony?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
He's like a billionaire investor. So apparently he first started off actually working for Google, trying to find server farms for them. And then like he kind of just kept going up and up and up on the pay scale at Google until he just made all this money and became a venture capitalist. And so he kind of invested in Uber, and he was at this party where Uber was first conceived. And I think it was just like New Year's Eve and they couldn't find a ride. So that's kind of how Uber came about. These rich guys were just at a party and they couldn't figure out a way to get home. So that's how Uber was first started up of.
I actually heard, like, there's another podcast that I listened to, Gary Vaynerchuk. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I know him.
And I think he was at that same party because he always mentions, it's like a recurring theme throughout his podcast that he regrets not being one of those initial investors in Uber because, you know, he would be much, much richer today.
Yeah, obviously. So Uber started off in 2009, 2010-ish as a way to help the wealthy and the rich and affluent trying to hail a black car or a luxury vehicle to get around. Whereas Lyft started off in like 2011, 2012 with a completely different business model with the goal of trying to help hitchhikers hail a ride to get somewhere. And so they're kind of more of like a carpooling focus, if that makes any sense. So you really have like luxury versus budget traveler. So that's kind of like you and me, Tony. You're a budget traveler and I'm a luxury traveler. So I think the differences there are very appropriate.
That being said, I think I use Uber a lot more than I use Lyft. I looked back through the app, and to date, I've been on at least 80 Uber trips.
Yeah, well, that's better than me because I only have like 5 or 6. I'll have around 10. But in any case, so kind of fast forward today, which is very appropriate because Lyft and Uber are kind of in the news all the time. Back in the past couple of years in 2016, 17, there was a lot of scandals between both companies. Also, Uber started to develop autonomous cars, self-driving cars in Arizona and in Pittsburgh. And Tony, I think we have an episode talking about autonomous cars and electric vehicles coming up soon, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to be next week, but don't hold us to it.
Yeah, so kind of appropriate going off of that. Stay tuned for that episode because Tesla just announced their $35,000 electric vehicle, which is almost in my price range. Almost.
Just save up a little bit more money.
Almost.
And then you can get it.
Almost. Yeah, exactly. So that's coming up very soon. Stay tuned for that. But so autonomous cars moving forward, Uber and Lyft, they kind of both added or went beyond just being able to hail a car to take you to someplace. So Uber added what they call jump electric bicycles. You see these a lot in New York. They're basically electric bicycles that you can use the Uber app to pay for, activate, and use for a limited amount of miles. They're kind of similar to like Bird and Lime scooters where you just do a first-time activation charge, and then they'll charge you for like every mile that you use it for.
Does Jump partner with Uber, or is that just the name that Uber gives?
No, I think Jump partnered with Uber at this point.
Okay, okay.
Because it's another independent company. I think they're, I mean, all these guys are startups, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Uber partnered with Jump, and then Lyft kind of copied the Bird and Lime scooter model. So they started adding their own Lyft scooters. And honestly, they're all over the place in DC. Like, they're all over Georgetown. I can't go a day without seeing a Lyft scooter, either at DuPont Circle, where I catch the Georgetown shuttle, or actually they're on the Georgetown campus too, which is pretty crazy.
And they also have, they have another one. Don't they have Bird down there too?
So Georgetown has Lime scooters, Bird scooters, and Lyft scooters.
Oh, wow. Take
yeah,
your pick.
So, I mean, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, DC is a very necessary market for all these guys because the traffic there is terrible. So they got to find alternative, what do they call them? Last mile sources of vehicles or something? Last mile vehicles?
Yes, yes. That's usually what they call them. Like the difference there is you only want to use them like up to 2 miles or so.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, honestly, I've thought about using a Lyft scooter instead of the shuttle to get from DuPont to Georgetown University, but I haven't done it yet. Maybe I'll do it this summer when it's warmer.
What's the price of a ticket? Like, is it cost effective? I'm trying to think for that distance. Is it better to do a scooter or to take public transport?
No. So the Georgetown shuttle is free for me. So no, it is not a cost effective.
Yeah. Okay.
It's probably also faster, honestly, too, because DuPont and Georgetown aren't necessarily that close together.
So it would be faster on the scooter, you're saying?
No, on the bus. Mm. Depending on traffic too, but
sounds like a terrible idea.
We'll see. The shuttle sometimes can get very crowded and annoying, but in any case, fast forwarding to this year, it seems that Lyft as of March 2019, Lyft has filed for their IPO in the, I don't know if it was the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. But they filed for their IPO, so they're expected to go public and offer shares on either of those stock exchanges, with Uber kind of waiting, and I think they're expected to go public this year with their own IPO. So these guys are valued at over $1 billion for their companies, right? They're definitely those unicorns, that the Silicon Valley unicorns that people talk about.
Do you remember back in college? Like, I guess Uber was around, but it wasn't prominent in Baltimore. It didn't exist in Baltimore. Do you remember we used to have to like call a taxi, or do we call taxis?
Yeah. So that's you're making me reach back into my memory stocks.
Most of the time, the taxis were just lined up outside.
Yes. So, but there were instances where there weren't taxis there because either we were going out super early or we were going out super late. But you're right. We had to sometimes call people to actually pick us up. And they weren't actually people, right? I mean, they were people. They weren't actually like taxis, right?
Yeah.
There was that brand that they told us about for orientation, actually. Because I remember going to freshman orientation, and they were like, here is this company that we've developed. Use it and call them, and they will pick you up, and you just pay them, and they'll take you wherever you want to.
What was that called? Wasn't it like EnviroRide?
Yeah. It was EnviroRide, remember? And they had like really nice cars too.
It would be like the Uber Black.
If they were. They were leather, they had heated seats and everything. I remember taking them a couple times actually. But I remember they were like super expensive. They were like $20 to go downtown, which is pretty absurd, actually.
But when you have like a car full of like six people, I guess it's cost effective at that point.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But in any case, yeah, so EnviroRide, and actually there was only one guy doing it. His name was Mike Nice.
I definitely had his number in my phone book, my contact list.
I think I still have it.
Oh, get out.
I don't know. Actually, we'll see. I'm looking through right now. For those of you who can't, well, obviously you can't hear this, see this. I'm looking through my phone. Do I have Mike Nice in my phone?
If you do.
No, I don't have it. I don't have it.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I went through like a year ago probably and purged like 80% of my contacts that I'm like, am I ever going to talk to this person again? Probably not.
I hope not. But yeah. Okay. So yeah. So I think that's kind of what we dealt with back in college. Obviously, today we have Uber and we have Lyft, and
it would be a whole totally different experience, like for somebody going to college now, than what we did. Just, you know, that's not even that long ago. 5+ years ago. 6+ years.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, kids will take Uber and Lyft to the bars now, and they don't have to work for taxi cabs. And I don't know if are we gonna talk about kind of the competition? I don't think we are really, but we should acknowledge that the Uber and the Lyft industries are just crushing the taxi cab industries right now. It's kind of funny that because of that, there are certain cities that just since the taxi union is so strong, they actually have kicked out Uber and Lyft from those cities. Because they're just such a detriment to their business.
Oh, right. You're right. I think, yeah, I wanted to take Uber to the, when my parents and I and my family went to Alaska on the cruise, we wanted to the Uber from the airport to the docks, and Uber was not available. So we had to hire like a private transportation to get us there.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, I go to Vancouver very frequently. And so like, I know there's no Uber. We actually have a private driver that we call, since he's like a family driver, so like we just know him.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
But yeah, Uber is limited in some cities. But that's also kind of interesting to bring up, because there are cities that love Uber. And so the best example of this is when we went to Pittsburgh. Do you remember the Pittsburgh story that we got?
I don't. Can you remind me?
So Pittsburgh, first off, we just mentioned that it's one of the best, it's one of those testing sites for the self-driving Uber cars.
Yes.
And part of that reason is because they're super open to Uber in their city. And so what I think the story was, during the first initial round of Uber coming to Pittsburgh, the mayor was trying to get to the airport, which is not very close to the city. The airport's probably like 20 minutes outside of the city. And so we called a taxi cab. The taxi cab did not show up. So then he called an Uber with his app. And the Uber showed up immediately, and he was like, oh my God, this is awesome. So I think that's why Pittsburgh is so favorable to Uber. It's because of that first first interaction, where this company is a lot better than taxicab, so we should start helping them out and see where this kind of partnership takes us.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, Uber definitely has a presence there. And now, modern day, like today, there is a lot of autonomous vehicle research going on at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh. They have a fantastic, like one of the nation's top robotics programs and AI programs at Carnegie Mellon. So just that combination of, you know, that experience with the Pittsburgh mayor. Was it the mayor?
Yeah, it was the mayor. I think it was the mayor. The Uber driver who told us this could have been wrong.
Yeah.
But not us. We are never wrong. You should take everything we say at 100% face value. We are always true.
That's sarcasm, if you can't tell.
This is not sarcasm.
Anyway, what I was trying to say was just that the fact that that happened, and then the fact that you have like this dominant universe in your robotics all combined together to have, you know, this area where there's all this innovation happening.
Yes. All right. So let's actually get into how much we've spent on Uber and kind of our experiences with it. And Lyft, right? Like Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, I'd say I use Uber like 90% of the time, Lyft like 10%.
Yeah, so let's just go off of experiences with the driver. So basically, in order to become an Uber driver or Lyft driver, you open up the same exact app. And you apply to become a driver through the app, and you either get rejected or approved, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So once you become a driver, what happens is you set your own hours, and basically you can work as long as you want to or as short as you want to, whenever, wherever. And that's how these Uber drivers make money. But what I will say is that you definitely have a gamut of personalities when you hop into a car with these people. Like, that's my experience. Like, you could have someone who's really friendly and really chatty, but at the same time, you could have someone who's just super quiet and just kind of doesn't talk to you and almost feels like you don't, like, they don't want you in their car, but they're doing it because they have to. But that's for Uber. Now, for like the Lyfts, I definitely have had experiences where most of those people are a lot more friendly and they don't necessarily seem like they're out to get you. They just seem more personable and willing to talk to you and give you advice and stuff like that. Have you had those experiences?
I don't think I've noticed that difference in personalities between the two ride sharing apps. I think that's kind of odd though, because a lot of the times driving around, I see cars with Uber and Lyft decals. Like, it's the same person who's working for both Uber and Lyft. You saw that too?
Yes, and that's because it's more of a technical reason, right? So basically, Uber and Lyft both have increased surcharges based on supply and demand. So if there's a low demand for drivers and there's a high supply or something like that, you're going to get charged a lower rate. But if it's a really busy night like New Year's Eve and there's a limited supply of drivers but high demand for those drivers, you have surge-based fare charging, whatever it's called.
Yep.
And basically, you're going to get charged more. And so the game theory between Uber and Lyft is that they'll select whichever app has the highest surcharge or base surging at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And so sometime it would be Lyft and sometime it would be Uber. Yeah. And that's what I recognize from talking with those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In general, I think my experience with, like, across all of the Ubers and the Lyfts that I've taken has been positive. I think there's only like a couple cases that I would say that there was no personality with the driver. And I think there is incentive, even if they're putting on a show, for them to be personable to you when you're riding with them, because there's those built-in rating systems. After every trip, you're able to rate the trip on a scale from 1 to 5 stars. And in doing so, they have like this collection of ratings and reviews from the riders. And that way, you know, as you get into the car, if this is going to be a good experience or not based on those ratings and reviews.
Yeah. So let's do you have your phone with you right now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Let's go on Uber for the both of us and see who has a higher Uber rating.
This is going to be interesting.
This is live in action, not for you guys podcast people, but okay. What's yours?
You go first.
My rating is a 4.90.
Oh, damn it. 4.81.
Ah, people hate you.
Apparently.
So it's, again, it's rated out of 5, and obviously the higher you are, the better. And what I'll say is you probably have our averages. If we weighted the number of trips that we actually took with Uber, like, you obviously have taken a lot more than me. The averages probably are weighted even, or like our ratings are probably even.
Yeah. And this is the rider's rating. There's two different rating systems, the driver's rating and the rider's rating. So after the trip, the driver also rates you as a rider. And I guess that's just a way to, you know, maybe if you get enough like 1-star ratings, maybe Uber will ban you or something. I've never heard about that, but I'm sure there's reason behind that system as well.
Yeah, they just don't want people who puke and vomit in the car all the time. So with that in mind, that rating system, obviously, if you have a more favorable rating, the more likely you are to get a better service, better driver, less, if your rating is bad, worse driver, I don't know. If you have a low rating on Uber, please email us at the4501podcast@gmail.com or send us a tweet at the4501podcast. On Twitter. Is there any other social media that we want to drop?
Facebook.
Facebook, yep. Or on Instagram. We are constantly posting new images on there about drops and such. So just check us out there.
And if we like your story enough, maybe we can bring you on for an interview.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Anyways, so low rating, let us know what it's all about. Tell us. I want to know because I have a 4.9. I am better than Tony. Remember that.
I'll give you this one.
But okay. So with that being said, do you see people giving up the cars? This podcast is about the future of ride sharing. Do you see people giving up their cars and just using Uber as their primary source of transportation in the future?
I absolutely see that happening, and I think it is already happening. Like I know another podcaster that I listen to, Tim Ferriss, he primarily takes Ubers everywhere he goes. I don't think he owns a car. I've read a bunch of articles where they talk about the cost efficiency of owning a car versus just taking an Uber everywhere. And, you know, it's going to vary case by case, but in a lot of cases, it's cheaper to Uber everywhere. And I have an example here in front of me that I'll just go through with you real quick. So like just owning a car, think about all the costs that you have associated with owning a car. You have gas, you have maintenance, you have tires, you have insurance, you have registration, and countless other expenses that you have for owning a car. And that is in addition to the cost of the car itself and the fact that the car depreciates in value as soon as you drive it off the lot, or as soon as like it goes from 2018 to 2019, every year that goes by, your car's depreciating in value. So anyway, there is a one case study where somebody says he on average spends around $300 a month to own a car and drive around town, do whatever he has to do. On the flip side, the same person tested out taking an Uber everywhere. And in doing so over some period of time with on average 9 rides per week, it only cost him $91 to Uber for a car. So $91 versus $300. In this case right here, it is more cost efficient to primarily Uber everywhere versus owning a car.
Okay. So like how much fold? Like it's double the cost to own a car, triple cost to own a car?
I mean, in this one case study, it's triple the cost, but it's going to vary for every person. You know, some people who are going longer distances, I'd say Ubers are good, like up to 40 miles, like between, you know, a couple miles and 40 miles. But if you're going longer distances, you are unfortunately going to have to own a car because there is no ride sharing service at this point. You know, like we talked about, there's Bird and Lime scooters, which are like, you know, up to 2 miles, and then you have Uber that's from 2 miles to 40 miles. But anything beyond that, you're going to want to own a car because it's just going to be the easiest way and probably the cheapest way. Because if you take an Uber over 40 miles, it's going to cost you a pretty penny.
Yeah. So I actually know from the Uber drivers that I've taken. Obviously, I live in Baltimore, Maryland, which is probably about 30 to 40 miles away to or from Washington, D.C. And so actually people will Uber from Baltimore to Washington, D.C. And it's very frustrating for the Baltimore-based drivers because they can't decline the ride. They have to actually take them to D.C. And then you kind of are at a loss because what do you do? Do you remain in D.C. and try to hopefully get a ride back to Baltimore? Or do you like just drive back without being active, I guess?
I've actually had that experience when we were flying out to see my sister in Arkansas, my family, our flight was canceled and the alternative flight was to fly to DCA. So we were at BWI and we had an Uber down to DCA to catch the flight. And we talked with the Uber driver and he actually said that he loved these longer type of trips. Now, I don't know specifically, like, actually I do. He said, we asked him like, what are you going to do now that you're down in DC? Cause he was Baltimore based. He said, he's going to call it a day. Like that was a good trip for him. He made a lot of money from that trip and he doesn't need to, you know, work anymore. So he's just going to go home and, you know, call it a day. So in at least that one case, this Uber driver preferred the long trips versus multiple short trips.
Well, that's an interesting comment, Tony. Thank you for sharing that.
Anytime. Got a lot of them.
Our listeners really appreciate that.
Shut the hell up.
Okay. So what I will say is that I think the one thing that is really deterring me from doing this. Well, A, I like to drive. So that's the primary deterrent. B, the mileage, kind of like your 2 to 40 miles, I think that's a very big challenge for me. but kind of more like C. I hate waiting for cars. I think that's the worst part. Like, I hate being dependent on someone. You know, if I want to get to the grocery store, I don't want to have to wait 5 minutes for an Uber. I'd rather just, you know, get in my car and drive there.
But is that worth potentially three times more money? Is your time worth that much?
Yeah. Because once you, because my time and everyone else's time, once it's used up, it's gone forever, Tony.
That's a good point.
It's a finite resource. You can't put a price on time.
So even though it's technically considered on-demand ride sharing, there is a bit of a wait for the rides.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a long wait. Like, it depends. But you're right. I've read the same type of insight that you just talked about. People are giving up their cars for Uber, whether it be because of cost. Sometimes it's because of environmental factors, you know, like, oh, I don't want to contribute emissions I don't want to contribute to the hole in the ozone layer. I don't want to contribute to global warming. So I'm going to start Ubering and Lyfting to prevent that, start carpooling. The other alternative to that is getting an electric car, which we can talk about too. But I just think that for everyone, it's different, right? It's not going to be one sole value.
Yeah, for sure. And with when you said that about emissions and whatnot, I love the fact that Uber has the Uber pool option. Have you ever used that before?
No.
Do you know what that is?
Yes. And it's the same reason why I don't use hostels, because I don't like sharing.
Yeah, here we go again.
Tech meets travel, man. Like, I'm not a big fan of shared accommodations like you. I find hostels to be okay, like, not glamorous what I want, but like, same thing with Uber. Like, I don't want to share my ride. I want to have my own car.
All right. I feel you. I see where you're coming from, and that's definitely justifiable in some cases. But the reason I brought that up is just because I think it is such a clever way to leverage technology in order to find multiple people in a city and find the most optimized route to get everybody where they want to go. And if that's sharing the same cab, that's great, because you're going to save potentially like double, triple gas emissions. So that's really a really cool example of how Uber technology is potentially helping us, the environment.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're so, again, meaning travel and tech. But going off what you said about ride sharing, I think this market of ride sharing, so you have Uber and Lyft, but more recently you've had a lot more competition within this kind of sphere, right? So I know in DC, they're starting to really push for this one ride sharing app called Via, V-I-A. And it's more ride sharing, carpooling based. It's not just like solo travel, private vehicles. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just like you're sharing a car with other people as opposed to just you getting a car by yourself.
Oh, wow. How is that going to work? Do you have to like schedule time in the car?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's the same idea. Basically you meet at this one group site, like you put into the app where you want to go, and basically the app, it'll send you a destination, or they'll pick you up, or they'll send you a destination for you to get into the car, or they'll just pick you up where you are, and then they'll pick up other people on the way and you just carpool to places. And I'm not quite sure if it's like a bus type of deal where it's like, you know, the guy is just continually stopping at places, or if it's something different.
I think in either case, that's a really interesting like kind of spin off on the whole Uber idea.
Yeah, but like, so now you see taxi cabs getting into the app game. Like Vancouver, actually, I don't know if Vancouver, no, they do. So Vancouver City, their cab system actually has like an app for the taxi cabs.
You mean like actual city cabs?
Like yellow cabs. Actual yellow cabs will have their own app to hire yellow cabs. And so these are the Uber competitors. These are the old school cabbies.
I mean, they either got to adapt or they're going to die, right? Like they.
Well, they're dying. Yeah, exactly. They're dying already. And so, but at this point, this will be an interesting podcast one time, but not next week, maybe further down the line, but people's perception of brand is already tailored towards Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. Like, how is it possible for these yellow cabs to actually get back that market share that they already lost?
It's going to take a lot of work and, in my opinion, a lot of innovation as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have the resources to do that.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think that Uber and Lyft truly are revolutionary apps, because what's the main thing that any revolutionary idea does? It pushes the entire generation forward. And this is pushing the entire transport sector forward, and also just making people's lives better, regardless of how I feel about shared accommodations.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I only see positive improvements, and I do predict that, you know, the traditional taxi cab will eventually phase out over time.
Okay. So I think that's where we're going to end here. Do you have a funny Uber story that you want to tell with everyone?
I do, but I can't tell you.
Oh, well, how about this? If we get to 1,000 subscribers, we will tell this story.
All right. That's incentive to share the podcast. So if you guys know somebody who listens to podcasts, or if you just want to share your love of podcasts with somebody else, definitely share this episode and our podcast in general. And we would greatly appreciate that.
Okay. Well, since you won't tell a funny Uber story, I will tell mine. So one time I got into an Uber, and we were going home from probably a Baltimore Orioles game at Camden Yards. We were going back to my house in Canton, which is for like across the side. It's on the other side of Baltimore from where the stadiums are.
A couple miles.
Yeah. And so we get into this car, and this actually isn't a great story for Uber, but it's funny nonetheless. The dude, the driver, is watching YouTube videos while he's driving.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, he's watching like a Kanye West video while he's driving. And I'm not sure I don't know if he was actually watching it. So I should hedge my bets a little bit. Maybe he was using it just to like play music onto the speaker system. But his phone was on. Like, he had one phone for Uber, and then he had his other phone for YouTube that was just blaring Kanye West song, which is, I love the song. I don't remember what song it was. Definitely had a good time. But, it's one of those things where people are crazy. And
yeah, I hope you gave him a 1-star rating.
No, I think he got us back home quick enough. That's one of the things I also hate. I hate when drivers take slow and take roundabouts ways. That's also not good for Uber, so don't do that.
Yeah, that's stupid. You're going to charge him more.
Yeah, if you're an Uber driver listening to this podcast, do not con people and take the long way home. Take the shortest way possible. You'll get more in tips than anything you'll get taking the roundabout way.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And on that note, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, guys and girls.
See y'all.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 4501 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the4501podcast@gmail.com.